Good evening and welcome to the Squirrel Report. Sorry.
No. Play the music, Alan.
Where the hell's Weird?
It doesn't matter. Play the music.
Oh. I heard he was absconding with my goods, so I was not happy about
your
that.
Goods?
My goods. Bought and paid for. Consarn it.
Wasn't there something about machine guns or...
It's not a machine gun.
I don't know.
It's just
I don't know where he's been all week. I've been emailing and emailing and no answer.
He's been learning how to operate on mics.
He's been.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Which is about as you can get.
The rat surgery, right?
Yes, the rat surgery.
Yes. He's learning how to enucleate rats or something like that.
Excellent.
I don't know. I had my share of that when I was literally enucleating Rana Katesmiana.
What?
Your standard bullfrog.
Oh.
Yep, we worked on
it. You know, bullfrogs freak me out.
I did that in, like, high school. Biology.
You got their retinas out? I'm impressed.
Well, we cut all kinds of pieces out of them.
I'm sure the retina came out one way or another.
I'm sure the retina came out somehow. I don't...
I kind of looked at it as my penance for being a teenage boy near a pond.
Ew. You know, bullfrogs are freaky. They'll eat anything. I've seen bullfrogs. they eat birds and...
There's a video I found on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't watch those videos, Jay.
I said YouTube.
I don't click the links, Jay.
There's a little fly in. There's an insect squishing game for a smartphone.
Ooh.
And the video is of this guy's holding his smartphone, and there's a little frog who's licking at the bugs. It's just, you know, he's like, it's so real, you know, blah blah blah. And then the game's over, and the frog gets mad, so it bites the guy's thumb.
Oh.
It's pretty cool. So I showed it to my kids who, you know, I mean, this was like absolute perfect kid fodder. And they just thought it was the funniest thing ever. And they were, you know, like, that sent them off to school. And all I could hear is, oh, you're going to see this video.
Oh, amphibians are freaky. And so, yes. I say that as somebody who has a pet reptile. Oh,
happens to own a reptile.
Yeah.
Amphibians. Is it a reptile or an amphibian? Are you the?
She has a turtle.
Oh, actually, I have an amphibian.
You have an amphibian.
Dude is an amphibian.
I was
He's cute though. He's got little tiny elbows. He does. It's really cute.
As opposed to giant elbows on.
He's little tiny elbows, but no, you know, Myra's a reptile. She doesn't freak me out at all.
Yeah.
And she regularly eats living food, so.
Saw that. We saw the horrible worm carnage.
I think it's a squishy factor. Amphibians are really squishy.
And slimy.
Slimy. Squishy,
and they drink water all day in case you pick them up.
Yes, they do.
They do.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and get started. Weird can join in if he wants to. Okay.
I saw him in chat briefly, but, I mean, that could just be his smartphone came back in range, so...
And now it's time for the Squirrel Report, Friday, May 4th, 2012.
Okay, it's just so we can get it all out of the way.
I love
Jay,
that.
Jay, go ahead and say the Star Wars thing. Go ahead.
Oh!
May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. May 4th means something totally different to me because I went to Kent State, so.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is that the date, really?
Yeah.
Sweet. I mean.
Hey, now.
That's when the hippies got what was coming to them.
Yeah. I only went there for 2 years. I never participated in the whole May 4th festivities.
You mean the great May 4th smokeout?
Yeah, I wasn't interested. So anyway.
Yeah.
How was everybody's week?
It was a week.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's about the best thing I could say about my week.
Yeah. I've been having the weirdest, like, month and a half. Every week. My schedule changes every week. at the library, so I rarely even know what day it is. You know, it's terrible. You know, my coworker said to me today, were you here yesterday? I was like trying to think back. Was I here yesterday? I don't even remember. What's going on? You know, I just show up when they tell me to show up.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
If it's Friday, it must be library.
Woohoo. Yeah.
Or library.
Yep.
Library. Yeah. Hey, apparently we're having a little sound issues.
Really?
Uh-oh. The player isn't, apparently.
Yeah, it is.
According to Miguel, it's not.
Miguel needs to check his shit, because according to my thing, it is.
Ah, woohoo.
Okie dokie.
I got it. I can hear it playing on the other ear. You can hear the echo. Hear that?
Oh, okay.
There's a lag. It sure is. It's working for us.
Yeah. Turn it off.
It's playing over the.
I hate hearing my voice.
Yeah, if you can't hear it, it's your problem.
Because when you hear your own voice, you know it sounds different going through your head.
Yeah, I know. Audio,
and then you listen to it on the you know, like on a recording, and it's like, oh my god, I sound like a friggin' tard.
Yeah, you know what, Jay? We weren't going to say anything.
I sound like a tard. Like I said, the headset's been wrapped in tinfoil and hit with a hammer.
You sound good tonight, though.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge improvement.
Like I said, I set out. I was intentionally going to make it shitty. So
what is it you have to do? You have to actually plug your headset into the computer and sit there all night?
Yeah,
pretty much. 2 hours?
Yeah, it's such a hardship on him.
It is. I have, like, super ADHD, and I'm, like, squirming.
So were you... before, when you had crappy audio, were you, like, wandering around the house?
You came out of the yard.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, no, but it was crappy even when I sat close by.
Oh.
I mean, I called in on my iPhone, for crying out loud.
Oh, I'm on my iPhone. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, you sound great. I call on my iPhone, and I'm thinking I'm talking from the moon.
Actually, when they talk from the moon, they sounded better.
Just a little bit less of a delay.
Actually, that's true. Oh god.
So anything exciting happened this week? Anything?
I drove to Louisiana
I have a new AR
to waste
lower.
My time. You have a what?
I have a new AR lower.
Ooh.
Well, that's good.
Oh, is it the one with the cool
that really is mine.
Fire thing?
Yes. Fill your hands, you son of a bitch. I saw that and I was like, oh my god. And then when Wally said he could make it happen, I was like, oh god, yeah.
That's so cool.
And then we were chatting and he's like, okay, you know, caliber, do you want it to be multi, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, poodle shooter. And he's like, hold on. So that's how we wound up with 5.56 poodle. So
nice.
That's fun.
Figure just, yeah.
Target, you know, would be so proud.
What's that?
Target.
When we were in Blogerado,
okay.
There was this little dog, and it was like a little poodle-y type thing.
It was a miniature poodle.
I don't know.
Miniature.
It was a very nice dog, very friendly. But
dryer trinket?
Alan, was it you, Alan? I don't know.
Yeah, it was me. I confess.
Alan kind of dubbed the dog Target.
Because it's a poodle, right? For a poodle shooter?
Yeah.
He's making a. He made a.
It was a very nice little dog. I don't even remember the dog's real name. I just
Target.
I'm sorry, Target. I'm sure you have a very lovely real name. I just can't remember. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
Yes.
We had a topic. I think
we had a number of topics. Jay, I wanted to bring up. First of all, I just to put this out there, and Alan, you're going to have to be quick with the phone number right now because I seriously can't remember yet. I think it's 214-530-0036, correct?
That sounds about right.
Okay, let's go with that.
Maybe I should turn the phone thing on, huh?
Yeah, that'd be good. We take callers on this show now, Alan. That's kind of the point. Anyway, Jay, I saw it actually through Sian Cole first because he's the first gun blog I pit every day. But healing to you. And apparently there is kind of like a question of, why do I own a gun?
Yes, I got that from Julie from Jigsaw.
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like this whole chain of command thing. But
Who is in Australia, right?
Who's in Australia? Down Under, who has, believe it or not, even worse gun laws than Massachusetts.
So it's an international question.
It is. Yeah. We are bad. We are nationwide.
And there are a number of reasons. Everybody has their own reason.
They're like potato chips.
Thunderbolt just said in the chat, his reason is because fuck you. That's why. Okay, good enough reason as any.
Well, that was Uncle's response.
Yeah, you know.
Because I effing can.
It's a good reason.
It wasn't my reason, but I want to just start out the show with that question because I want a lot of callers today. I would love to have a lot of callers and to bring people into the show. So if you have an answer to that. And we're going to be carrying out that question throughout the show. I think we will take callers, you know, answer that question and talk about whatever else and our topics or whatever. So our number here is 214-530-0036. And you can call us now. Alan, what was the first topic for this week? The real topic.
I thought the gun, why you own a gun was the first topic.
Well... No, that's kind of like, let's call that the thread that will run throughout the show.
Oh.
And then we'll have other topics.
Well, the first one was the Obama-Afghanistan campaign stop.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I wonder what the carbon footprint was for that little stop.
Well, there is that. Yeah, and who is paying for that?
Just, you know, this is his mission accomplished, I guess.
Alan, do you have the phone thing on?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. We actually have somebody calling in already.
Oh, cool.
You want to take it?
Me?
Do we want to take it?
Of course.
Of course we want to take it. We just told them. We exhorted them to call in.
Yeah, all right. Hang on.
You can't exhort and then...
Okay. Call. Area code 317. You're on the air.
Hey, it's the Jack.
Hello.
Hello, the Jack.
Greetings, the Jack. I am just AJ. I hope to someday be the J.
Well, what you got to do is find a whole bunch of people who aren't really J.
I am the Brita.
Faux J's.
Okay.
I am the Brita, the only Brita that you probably will ever know. So why did you call in tonight? Do you have an answer to our question, why do you own a gun?
Yeah, it actually basically was because I fucking could. I'm sorry, Wait, you guys don't care about language here?
No.
What happened was that, in a bit of history, I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get out as soon as you could?
I got out as soon as I could, yes. The second on high school graduation, vowed never to set foot in that godforsaken place again. And so far managed to keep it.
I heard that New Jersey is the armpit of the universe.
Oh, God, it is. I don't know how bad Boston drivers are, but about the worst drivers in the country.
Boston's worse.
Alan will back me up that, yeah, Boston.
I spent a lot of time in Jersey, and I spent some time in Boston, and Boston is far worse.
Oh, that is unfreaking believable.
You know what it is? It's just Boston, if you look at it, is tiny. Like, in the scheme of, you know, sheer land area.
Yeah, it really
is.
It's
a teeny little city, but we have, a big city number of people in it. And they're all driving. You know why? Because the T sucks. We had a T driver crash the goddamn train because he was texting. That's what we got on our, take public transportation. Yeah, we can't promise we won't kill you, but there's a good chance you won't die. You know, public transportation, there's a good chance you won't die, is not a working ad campaign.
That just means they need to hit you over the head more with more fuel taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone will love light rail if we just make it so you can't own a car. But yeah, I know. So after Jersey, I ended up going to New York.
Wait, you were in New Jersey? What exit?
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't like to admit, but yeah, I used to live there.
my one New Jersey joke.
Exactly.
I learned how to drive a standard transmission automobile on the friggin' turnpike.
The Jersey Turnpike?
Yeah, we have to stop for a 10-cent toll every 18 feet.
and there's a guy standing there whose job is to take the ticket out of the machine and hand it to you.
Yeah.
No, this was back when they took coins.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. It was a dime. It was a dime freaking toll every 3 miles. I'm in a Mazda Jersey Sundowner pickup. I've never driven a standard in my life. And I'm like,
Isn't New Jersey the state where they don't let you pump your own gas?
Yes.
Yep.
No, they don't.
And Oregon, if I'm not mistaken.
How strange.
That's bizarre.
Pretty much the
I'm qualified to pump my gas.
Jersey is also the state where you have to go left or go right to go left.
Michigan is that way as well.
Yeah. Here's the bad thing. In Jersey, there's traffic circles everywhere,
yep.
And they don't put yield signs on them.
No, they don't.
Oh, God.
It's actually on part of the driving test. They say you obey the local convention.
Weird.
Local convention. At a four-way stop, the car with the crappiest paint job goes first.
Okay, the Jack, so you're in New York.
Sorry.
Yeah. Was in New York for a bit. Now, that was hideous, especially since I was living in Erie County, so no handgun permit for me.
I'd have moved.
New York's one of the things where for long guns, they're not too bad, but for handguns, you have to. It's kind of like where you have to get a carry permit, period, to even touch one. Renting at gun shops, I think, is kind of the police look the other way. Really obnoxious. And, of course, the whole system is very, very shall issue. I'm sorry, very, very may issue, especially in the urban areas.
So, basically, you own guns because for a long time you couldn't.
Yeah. It was something where one of the first things I did when I moved to Indiana was buy some guns and get the carry and start doing it because, well, woo-hoo. Fuck you, I can.
That's a good reason.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. We got two more people caught trying to get in already.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Have a good day. Okay. And we got another caller. Area code 301. Hello.
301.
What?
301. Oh.
We know who that is.
Yes, we do.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little drunk.
Oh, no.
Just a little?
I can't say
just
it.
A little.
Well, drink some more and call back when you're a lot drunk.
It's only like nine beers.
Oh.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We know what kind of beers you drink. That's like three beers in a real place. Sorry. Sorry.
What are you drinking tonight?
Natural ice doesn't cut it.
Tell us what kind of beer you're drinking tonight. I'm interested.
Victory Prima Pils is the tonight selection and the usual night selection.
Very nice.
I'm just back from Archie's.
Uh-huh.
Hey, how's Archie doing?
Oh, not good.
Aww.
He can't figure out the thermostat anymore.
Oops.
Oh, well, good thing it's almost summer.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. When you got to go from heat to cool, it gets kind of complicated.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Oh, he has air conditioning. See, I don't have that problem. I just turn it off. I was like, oh, air conditioning. What a novel idea. You get to cool your house, too.
Could you talk into one of those automatic thermostats?
Air conditioning is kind of required.
Yeah.
I see.
And you're not even that far down. It gets even worse, like, when you get into, like, Georgia.
Washington, D.C. is a malarial zone and a hardship for investorial
tax. It actually is. It's a swamp.
Yeah, it is.
They built it there
it
on purpose because it was shitty land that nobody else wanted.
Humidity here is 112% today.
You're actually swimming.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't use the AC to cool off there. They use it to get the water out of the air.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of bummed about MCA.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do a little Beastie Boys shout out. MCA died today, or was it today, or this week, or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's very sad. It's almost like, I don't know. I'm of that generation where the Beastie Boys were like,
it's a piece of our childhood.
Right? I know. Yeah. And suddenly,
Archie didn't believe that his daughter, who's born the same year I was, would know who MCA of the Beastie Boys was.
Oh,
and
terrible.
I told her, next time he talks to her, she'll probably sing Brass Monkey to him.
Oh, God, now it's in my head. I hate you.
Yeah, me too. That funky monkey.
So, I've been mixing my Victory Prima pills with Honey Delight in order to simulate a Brass Monkey.
What?
I didn't have any Old English 800. You're supposed to mix Old English 800 and Sunny D Light, and you have a Brass Monkey.
Oh, I can't drink Sunny D.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's good as a mixer with bad malt liquor.
Ugh. No.
Pass.
And surprisingly, I have quite an access to bad malt liquor because that's what Archie drinks.
Oh. Well, then.
Go Archie.
He looks on the percent alcohol by volume, and he buys the highest one. And it happens to be Steel Reserve malt liquor.
Ooh.
It's about like 10% alcohol.
The drink that gets you drunk.
He doesn't understand why he can only do one at a time now. You know, his tolerance is way down.
Oh, boy.
Did you answer the question, by the way?
No, he didn't.
What's the question?
Pay attention! The question was...
About why I have a gun, or why I want to have a gun?
Yes.
Well, fuck you, that's why.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so that's going to be the answer for the evening, right?
Yeah,
no one else has any other answer than fuck you because I can?
Well, you do.
What's yours?
It's complicated.
Gotcha. You're going to say because fuck
you. No, that's a relationship status on Facebook. That's not why you have a gun.
It's complicated. It really is. I don't know. Anyway, someone else answer. This is not the interview Brita show.
Yeah, I answered already.
That's it. That's
why
next hour.
Why do you answer, Jay?
Yeah,
why
in the
do
next
you have
hour.
One, Alan?
I've always had one.
Because he's from Texas.
Yeah, I've always had one. I've never not had one. I mean, as long as I can remember, I've had one.
Alan was actually birthed carrying a North American Arms Mini 22. That's
entirely possible.
Our babies in Texas.
Told me too.
I got my...
Although I do feel compelled to mention that I had a Massachusetts carry permit before Texas allowed concealed carry, so I just had to throw that out.
Yeah, how is that open carry going in Texas, Alan?
Yeah, it's
still nothing.
Well, I mean, the legislature doesn't meet till next year, so
yeah. Okay, whatever. Anyway,
I have an answer.
Okay.
It's to compensate for a small wiener.
Okay, yeah, that's why I carry one too. I'm compensating.
Why do you carry a gun? It's why do you own a gun? I own guns because I think
compensating
cool.
For the right leg or left leg.
Left.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that doesn't drive.
Yes, the one that doesn't drive.
Actually, you know what? That's how I remember it too.
Oh my God! Really?
The one that
the clutch leg. Yeah.
The clutch leg. Yeah.
Clutch leg. Oh, great.
Read a sigh. Drink.
Thanks.
Brita doesn't drive a standard. That's okay. I don't either.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know how.
I used to, but...
So maybe that's why I'm buying a gun. I'm compensating for the fact that I don't know how to, you know, drive a car that a man can drive.
That could be. A different kind of compensation.
Okay.
Driving standard is horrifically overrated.
Especially in traffic.
Yeah.
I could drive one, but if I'd have to borrow the car, and somebody would probably need a new clutch after I borrowed it.
Well, I mean, the fact is, the automatic was an improvement over the standard transmission.
Standard just seems like work. I don't want to work.
And yes, if you've got $250,000 supercar, yeah, you could probably and you happen to be a world-class race car driver, you can wring a little extra performance.
Yeah, but even race cars don't have manual transmissions anymore.
Well, they got the paddles. That's
well,
I mean, it's kind of.
If I had a $250,000 car, somebody I would hire someone to drive for me.
You could hire me. I would drive it.
Because I have no interest.
Archie is a huge car guy, sold cars, did body work for, you know, 40, 50 years. And he hasn't driven a manual transmission since 1948.
Wow.
That's.
So he says manual transmissions for suckers.
Well, all
you know
right
what? Listen to Archie. I think he's very wise.
Archie knows what he's talking
Archie
about.
Archie also never bought a new car until 1999, the current car he owns.
No.
The only reason why he bought it then is because he's playing the market all the time and he's worth $999,000.
Woohoo!
And he figures, you know, I'm that close to a millionaire and he didn't quite make it. And he said, screw this. I'm buying a new car. My first new car.
Nice.
His Red Hat stock went down the toilet in 2000. March of 2000.
Yeah, it did that.
Yeah. He still got it, though, and it's creeping up slowly.
Archie is a veteran, right?
Yep.
Of World War II.
Bought the Japanese.
Oh, wow.
He's my second veteran. I have two on this block.
Nice.
Wow. I used to go to
in the Navy in both oceans.
I used to go to gun shows with a guy that was in the Bataan Death March. So,
oh God,
those old guys are full of stories.
I went to a seminar when I was in Pensacola in the Navy. It was a Dutch resistance fighter, and they had a little something with the prostitutes.
What?
Prostitutes put a candle in a certain window, and that window meant that I have a German officer in my boudoir. And then they'd wait outside, and then he'd walk home, and they'd shove him in the canal.
Cool.
They'd try to get the Luger out of his holster before he went into the drink. And it was cold enough, and the walls were sheer enough that it would just guarantee that he would die of hypothermia.
And they thought he just fell in because he was a drunk idiot on his way home.
Yeah, there's no other evidence otherwise.
Cool.
Huh.
What an awesome idea.
That's a great story.
Remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will.
We actually.
Put it in my book.
We might have a use for that.
Do you have any canals near you?
The next time the Nazis seize power.
That's right.
Let's get cold in the Cleveland Willoughby area.
Yeah. Great Lakes.
We have a river here, you know.
Yeah. If Brita pushes some Nazi officer into the canal, he'll bounce because it's all frozen over.
Well, unless it's on fire.
They'll just run right after you.
It might be on fire.
No, the Cuyahoga does not run through Willoughby. It doesn't.
They'll burn to death.
That's right.
Oh, God. Well, thanks for calling in, T-Bolt.
Yeah, thanks.
It's good to hear from you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I wasn't more entertaining.
Oh,
you're very entertaining.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Okay.
Just not the way
Bye.
You think.
Bye.
And we've got yet another one.
Awesome. See? When Brita tells
caller
me
from area code 480. I don't even know where that is.
That's a caliber by Ruger.
480? Hello?
Greetings, caller. You're on the air.
Hang up.
Hey.
Oh.
You should know where 480 is, because this is Hank.
Hi, Hank.
Hey. Hank.
Hank, my buddy. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm hanging in there.
Cool. How are you doing tonight? Do you have an answer for the question?
What's the question?
Why do you own a gun?
Why do I own a gun? I have many answers to that.
Okay. Give us the top
two. So did I. Thank you.
Well, let's go back to many, 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 many years ago. And my brother and I were walking home in the middle of the night, and some pervert tried to molest us.
Oh, dear.
So walked home, grabbed a shotgun, put one or two rounds in it, walked out the door and sat on the porch. And sure enough, this butthead came and... drove back up, got out of his car, looked at me. I stood up, leveled a shotgun at him. And he said, "Are you going to shoot me?" I said, "No, but get out of here." And I had all kinds of plans. I mean, this was so many years ago. I had all kinds of plans in my head. I wasn't going to shoot him, and I never aimed the guns directly at him. But I was going to shoot, like, in front of him, and maybe the bouncing BBs from the shotgun would deter him, and if that didn't, maybe I'd have to put another round directly in him. Well, a bunch of stuff many years ago. And, you know, he didn't come forward, didn't hear anything. I said, no, I'm not going to shoot you, but leave. He left. End of story. You know, just the threat of the gun.
Sure.
Solved the situation.
I always think, you know, people always have that discussion about calibers, you know. Oh, 22 and 380 and oh, blah, blah. But, you know, really when it comes down to it, you have a gun pointed at you. Do you really want to take the chance of, like, hey, what caliber is that gun you're pointing at me?
Yeah, right? Usually just showing it's enough.
Usually just showing it is enough.
Yeah.
That's a 380, not a 9mm. I'll take that hit. No, you won't. Ha ha, 25. We better hope nobody finds out if you shoot him with it. Ha ha, yeah. You want to catch one?
Yeah.
You know, the only reason I dissuade 22 is because the 22 rim fire is less reliable than center fire. That's my only, you know, my only caveat. But, you know, that's a functional. You know, if you're comfortable carrying it, if that's the only gun you're going to carry, it's better than nothing. If the only thing you're going to carry is a little Jennings J22, it's better than nothing.
Better than a pointy stick.
Exactly. Or a banana.
Yes. A pointy stick is better than a banana. As I think.
That depends on what you're using it for.
All right. Okay. Anyway.
Nobody catches the Monty Python. I know Brita doesn't like Monty Python.
I totally did not even get the Monty Python reference. Thank you.
Figured you wouldn't. I mean, Alan's a fan of oddball British humor. I thought he might get it.
I got it.
Apparently it only extends to Doctor Who.
For my particular case, after that incident, there was a very long hiatus before I really thought of guns. I went off to the Navy, and I went through the Navy, and I got out of the Navy, and I got married, and I got a house. And one night, we were in our house, and we heard, like, a thump. And I was like, what was that? And I was thinking about it. I said, you know, that sounded like a bullet hitting the house.
Uh-oh.
And,
what?
Yeah. And I thought, okay, hey, here I am. I'm absolutely defenseless. I have no weapons. I have nothing. I'm sitting in a house, and what sounds like a bullet hit my house, I don't know what's going on. And, you know, I looked at that situation. I said, and it's really stupid not to have a gun. And it actually took me a while to act on that. But eventually, I acquired a gun and another gun. And initially, my wife was not too happy about that. But eventually, she realized that, oh, yes, absolutely, this is the way to go. And now, I almost can't turn around without being able to stick my hand on a gun. And that's the way it should be.
Hmm.
Nice.
Cool.
Heck yeah.
You know, we didn't have guns in the house until we bought a house. We didn't have guns when we first got married and lived in an apartment. We didn't have the guns, partly because I was so anti-gun. And
wow.
I know. And then we moved into a house, and Mike said, okay, we're in our own house. We're going to have guns. And and that led to my first range trip. But, yeah, it kind of feels now, looking back, it does kind of feel stupid not to have a gun. Because you're in your house, and it's like a tool like anything else. You know, you have a fire extinguisher, you have, a number of other
detectors.
Things in your house. Smoke detectors,
a
plunger, first aid kit. Stuff that you need in a house.
Well, also when you're in your house, it's you're a little more restricted in what you can do to get away.
Right.
You know, when you're out in public, you know, you've got a little more freedom of movement, theoretically.
Well, and you have the standard ground thing, too. And, you know, certainly I think that, I mean, a few states don't believe in that, but a lot do. Hey, standard ground, it's your castle, it's your domain, it's your home, standard ground. And if you don't have the tools and the facilities to do that, then you did the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody breaks in and you don't have a gun, you're starting out behind the eight ball. You're already at a disadvantage. I mean, when someone breaks into your home, they have the element of surprise because you're not expecting it. So you need something to erase that advantage. Find a shotgun works well. Despite what, who was it? Despite what T-Bull might think. That's right. I even linked that. But despite what T-Bolt might think, the sound of the shotgun racking might work, might not. But in any case, you've got a loaded gun, so it's all good.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the whole thing. If it doesn't scare them off, you still have a loaded shotgun.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Hank.
Thanks, you're Hank. Certainly welcome. And I'll talk to you sometime later.
Okay. Call in next week.
Yeah.
See ya. Okay. And we don't have any more callers, so let's get back to the Clinton-Afghanistan campaign stop.
that was an
Freudian slip there.
Very interesting.
What?
You say Clinton.
Said Clinton.
Oh. Did I say? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
Obama.
Obama.
Oh, what's the difference? Come on.
Yeah, well.
Clinton was the first black president. Obama's the second black president.
No, he's the first half black president.
That's right. Clinton was more black than Obama.
According to the new rules, yeah. Because Elizabeth Warren seems to be a minority, while George Zimmerman is a white guy.
That's right.
I don't understand.
White racist on his way to a Klan meeting.
You know, the thing that got me the most was that this Elizabeth Warren woman.
Oh, good Lord. Yes, Scott Brown's opponent.
You know what? I think she's kind of doomed because she is just... Who was that girl... The witchcraft woman. She kind of embarrassed herself with a whole goofiness. But, Elizabeth.
God.
Yeah.
Ash heap of history.
The one that was
anyway,
running. Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't matter. Christine something?
Delaware. Christine O'Donnell.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Anyway, so. Yeah, I read too much about politics.
I'm not a witch. I love it.
Yeah, I'm not a witch. Anyway.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren,
her big thing was she believed that she was Native American because her grandfather had high cheekbones, just like all the Indians do.
Yeah, she actually said that.
Loud in an interview with her mouth. I mean, it was like, you said that? Really?
Yeah. Her let them eat cake moment.
It must be really nice to be liberal and be able to say racist stuff and not get called on it. Yeah. Hey, you know, could you imagine applying that to any other racial group? Like, you know, I think I might be part African American because my grandfather had something like curly hair, like all the black people do. What? You know, come on. But here she is running for, you know, office in Massachusetts. No, it's crazy.
Well, and the simple fact is that, you know, Scott Brown is out of touch because he made $600,000, but she made over $1 million and she's a middle class.
Well, she's a woman of the people.
You know, in a $1.7 million house in Cambridge.
She's a minority. She feels your pain.
She's an Indian.
That's right.
Scott Brown sent a blanket to the Warren campaign.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, she's the one that, you know, was taking shots at Scott Brown because, you know, he modeled for, where the hell was it? He did softcore porn.
Oh, yeah. He was some kind of male model thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paid the bills.
Where she's never held a private sector job in her life.
Right. We were talking about Obama going to Afghanistan.
That's right.
Then we derailed ourselves.
Get a rope. We need to pull this back on the topic.
We keep trying to
rope, try a chain and a winch.
Well, the whole thing was just, from the very start, it was stupid because apparently somebody got wind of it and, you know, they always try this press blackout when the president goes out of the country because they don't want to, let people know when he's going into a war zone or some bullshit like that. Like the president could go somewhere and people not know about it, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's like the most poorly held secret on the planet. And so they tried to shut it up and reporters were calling the White House going, "Hey, is the president going out of town?" And the White House is like, "We don't know." You know?
Yeah.
Don't know. Maybe. No.
Well, and the other part is it's the exact same thing as Bush's mission accomplished, that they absolutely, completely, and utterly tore up one side and down the other.
Well, okay.
Because he's going to Afghanistan. War is over, blah, blah, blah. Things are great. And, yeah, there's still, 88,000 troops in Afghanistan?
Right. On top of that, on top of all the troops in Afghanistan, just 2 weeks ago or a week ago, Obama decided to loose the reins on human targets the CIA could vaporize with the drones in Yemen.
Yep.
So he's going around saying, "War is over, yay, 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 right. Afghanistan, we are blah, blah, blah." And yet he's having this little secret war with his drones in Yemen.
Right. And you know.
Well, you know how it is with Democrats.
The murder of American civilians.
You know, Democrats love to bomb the shit out of people from
airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
They
that's
love
their
them
thing.
Some drones.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Because when it was Bush doing it, it was, he always authorizes campaigns against brown people. But that's magically, they no longer have brown status when it's Obama.
Well, you notice that they also stopped keeping track of casualties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, body count, the daily body count.
The daily body count stopped the minute Obama got into office. Like, it didn't matter anymore.
Right.
And even though I think
troops only matter when it can be used against a Republican president.
Right. If I remember correctly, more soldiers have died in Afghanistan under Obama than died there under Bush.
I'd heard that as well. I haven't had a chance to research the...
Yeah, I saw that on some Aces page or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, a lot. And not a mention of it. You know, that's right up there with, you know, gas prices. You know, it was, you know, $2 gas was the end of the world under Bush.
Yeah.
And $4 gas.
$4 gas is actually a good thing.
You know, is a good thing.
It's a good thing. Because it'll get it.
Well, $4 gas.
About why the Chevy Volt costs $250,000.
Exactly, buy electric cars. Yeah.
Nobody's going to buy that car.
And stay close to home. And
it's a piece of shit. Nobody's going to buy it.
Oh, shit.
Hey, we've got another caller.
Woohoo!
Yay. Area code 336. You're live.
Hi, guys. What's happening?
Hi.
This
greetings,
is Michael
caller. Wood. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello.
You're going to have to say your name again. Jay talked over you.
Okay. I'm Michael W.
Michael
Hi, Michael W.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's good to hear from you.
It's good to, good to hear you guys.
It's extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm calling into
every ounce of respect I can muster, sir.
I was calling to answer your question.
Ah!
We have a question. Nobody else wants to.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Nancy put me up to it. It's her fault. Basically, I've always had a weapon. My family, first time I can remember, my dad was giving me empty shotgun shells to play with in the living room floor. I mean, it's that way. And then I carried a pistol for 30 years, so part of the job, and it's just a part of life down here. I mean, it's not something that was out of the ordinary. It's a tool. It's like you said a little bit earlier, Brady. It's a tool.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, But that's about it. There's no big, no psychosexual need to carry a gun. It's just, it just is.
It's what a responsible adult does.
Exactly. It's sort of like it's a rite of passage.
It's just like owning a hammer or a screwdriver. I mean, you got, you got stuff you need to take care of. You got a tool to do it with.
And if you can't, also, in your toolbox,
you at least have a Swiss Army knife or a Leatherman.
Yep.
That's your handgun analogy.
These days you can't even carry a pocket knife in most places you go into anymore. But when I was coming up, that was the first thing kid got was a pocket knife. And then when he got old enough to be responsible, he had at least access to firearms if he didn't have one in his room.
Yeah, when I was a kid growing up, I got my first knife that I can actually remember was when I got when I was in Cub Scouts. And from that day on, I've had a knife in my pocket every day ever,
I think I was six when I got my first pocket knife. Yeah. And I carried a pocket knife to school.
I did too.
I did too.
In fact, it boiled down to, we
were told I had a woodshop class in junior high, and the woodshop teacher one day was like, all right, he wanted to see everybody's knife and chewed some people out for not having one. Called him an idiot for not carrying a basic tool around.
You want to shock people? Pull out a knife today.
Oh, yeah. I love doing that.
Go to open a box or something at work. Yeah. Take a pocket knife out and open it up. And they will lose their shit.
Yeah.
Now, granted,
I bet Brita enjoys doing that at the library.
I know what kind of knives Brita has, though. She does have some pretty funky knives.
The women I work with are used to me with my knives now, because they're like, hey, do you have your knife? Can you open this? They give stuff to me to open. But the last experience I had with shocking someone with a knife was, Mike and I went to his office Christmas party, and there was kind of like the whole gift exchange thing. And of course, Mike picked a box that was all taped up, and
the box.
I, got out my Benchmade, and it's, snick, kind of thing. And all the other wives were kind of like, oh my God, she's got a knife.
She's got a knife.
It's a pocket knife. I carry it all the time. And they were just like so flabbergasted. And so I opened the box for Mike, and then I stuck it back in my pocket. And the women were all just like shocked. I carried a knife in my pocket. Woo! Not my purse, but my pocket. I mean, it was
they were agog.
They were. And, actually Mike and I were just talking about it yesterday. And I said, I feel bad about it because I'm sure the other wives think I'm just,
it's because
the biggest freak
about a 10-inch Bowie knife.
Whatever.
Stab the back several times.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you something else that's also interesting. People have changed so much since we were kids that when I go to these living history or reenactments or whatever I go to, the simplest thing gets people's attention. Nobody knows how to make anything anymore. I can sit there and tie knots or scrape on a cow horn or do something like that, and I could have people stand there and stare at me for hours because they're not the concept of making something anymore isn't there. I mean, they go down to Walmart or someplace else and pick it up.
Right.
Get some cheap piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the idea of being able to craft something like a bootlace, to weave a bootlace for somebody, it's just the concept's not there. So.
Somebody else will do it. It's totally first world.
Well, it's cheaper.
Well, that's what I tell them. I said, that's why I learned how to be so crafty. I'm just too damn cheap to buy anything.
Well, comparative advantage and all that. I mean, we won't get into the economics, but it's stuff from China's cheaper. So, it's cheaper to pay somebody 5 cents an hour to weave a shoelace than it is to do it yourself. But it'd be nice to know how to do it yourself, though. I mean,
plus you really don't have a lot of labor disputes when you got a guy that's got a pistol in the back of your head, too.
That's right.
Very few complaints at all. The Chinese have a habit of, if they execute prisoners, they send a bill for the round that they use to the family.
Nice.
That's kind of cold-blooded.
I like it.
And then they sell the body parts of the person to the hospitals for transplants.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I think they should take the body parts out before they kill them. But that's just me. That's the Sicilian in me.
That'd make for interesting. That'd make it for an interesting pregame show, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Like, how many parts can we take? It'd be like real life operation.
Yeah, you could have.
You're like eating at a Chinese restaurant. Take one of A or B or C.
It could be a contest.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me let you guys get back to it. I just want to touch base with you and say, hey.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Y'all
have a good night, Michael.
Bye.
Bye.
And we got another caller.
Now we need Nancy.
Oh.
That's a hint.
This is a caller from area code 971.
Why, hello.
Hello.
It's MDev from Jacksonville Tupperware.
Awesome. How are you? You're our weekly caller.
You know, I am. I think
you should have kind of like your own segment.
I don't know about that.
The MDev update.
The MDev update. Oh, gosh. That can be scary. You know, I am a certified mall ninja, so.
Is there a test for that?
What?
Is there a test?
Yeah,
or
officially leveled.
Do you get
up
a uniform or a badge?
T-Bolt
posted
a picture of a proto mall ninja.
Well, yeah,
it's actually rather humorous.
No, I actually had a comment on topic tonight, so I figured I would actually call in on that.
Okay,
excellent.
As far as the, you know, how did I get into guns or why do I own guns or whatever? I mean, I had kind of the classic story backwards of I did not grow up in a family that hunt. I did not grow up in a family that, you know, had guns for kind of those reasons. I grew up in a family where both my parents had carry permits. And it was like, yeah, you turn 21, you get your carry permit, and this is what we do.
Nice.
So I think a lot of people, you know, my father has never hunted. My mother has never hunted. You know, they both fish and stuff like that, but it was kind of weird because it's like a lot of my kind of gunny friends are like, you know, their closets are full of dad's old 30-06 or whatever. Mine's dad's old J-frame, you know. So I kind of feel like I came in backwards to that, you know what I mean, or different than many people. And I thought it was funny when you were talking about knives. My story of like how I became interested in gun rights starts with a Swiss Army knife. I was like 7 years old. My grandfather gave me like the super duper Swiss Army knife with like, you know, every tool and the toothpick and the tweezers and everything. And, on the way to school, happened to mention to Mom that I was going to show it to everybody in my class. And she's like, no, you're not. You can't bring a knife to school. And I was like, well, what do you mean? I don't want to hurt anybody. I want to show off my new cool gadget, you know? And like, it never dawned on me that this was going to be considered a, you know, deadly weapon. And that, of course, I grew up in the zero tolerance generation. And it's like, what do you mean I can't show off my knife? Doesn't everybody have a knife? You know? And then we had to have the, well, not everybody's like us discussion. So, and that's kind of my thing is like, I was 7 or 8 years old. I'll probably 8. I don't know. You know, had gotten into Cub Scouts and that kind of thing. It was like, well, I know how to be safe with a knife. I don't want to go stab anybody. I want to go show off my new cool gadget, you know.
Exactly.
And that's
it's a tool. You're proud of your tool. Oh, that's beautiful.
Absolutely. You know. So I, you know, those two things were kind of connected. You know, and it was funny because, you know, then by the time I got to high school and our high school had you know, a cop assigned to the high school. It was like the school resource officer or whatever. And one day I run into him at the range, you know, and I thought that was kind of cool. And this was, I was like 14 or whatever. And then the next day, you know, I see him at school or the next Monday or whatever it was. And, like, that's all I wanted to talk to him about was, you know, oh, I saw you at the range. And this time he's like, oh, we don't talk about that at school.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell? You saw me. I saw you. Like, you know.
I've had to give the boy the talk.
Yeah.
That, you know, might not be the best thing to mention that. The one good thing that I'm finding out is that my town apparently thinks it's part of New Hampshire. Because whenever I get together with, like, scout parents or baseball parents, you know, I'm like, every guy I talk to is like, yeah, I was at the range the other day. I'm like, really? Where do you go?
Maybe you should try for an annexation.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, like, just get New Hampshire to snake down and, you know, claim us. I'll switch my plates.
Okay.
That's all I need. A little lifeline.
I think that
50 foot, that, run all the way to the border.
Well, now, and you're going to laugh at me because I grew up in Connecticut and I don't remember anything back there anymore. The border between New Hampshire and Massachusetts, it's not like a river or anything. It's just an artificial, like, line
it's
in the just, sand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's. Okay, I mean, well, so I mean, there's, you know, the checkpoint Charlie and the barbed wire, but
yeah, you don't, you know,
other than the wall,
other than the big wall and the moat and the machine gun turrets.
But maybe you should just start convincing people that it is New Hampshire, and that, you know, if you look at this old map that I found in the backyard, we're technically New Hampshire. You know, you're only what 8 miles, right? So that's what you got to do, you know.
Like going to the state house with an eraser.
Well, I mean, think about it. They're pretty incompetent as it is. Would you put a tax on the screw up the border?
Yeah. Yeah, but then it'd be less tax revenue, and, you know, they couldn't have that, so.
Well, you need to explain that you're a burden, not a profit.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Unfortunately, no.
Yeah. Sorry.
Everybody here has jobs. Sorry.
Yeah. My uncle actually lives somewhere near you. Cause I always forget if he lives in Mass and works in New Hampshire or lives in New Hampshire and works in Mass. But he, wherever Raytheon is, that's where he works and he lives in the other one.
So he lives in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
He does it the right way.
Fair enough. I just wanted to call in and kind of share my token because I thought, you know, being just a tiny bit younger than you wise folks growing up in the zero tolerance and,
I'm the youngest
you,
here.
Brita.
Yes, you are.
I know you're probably younger than me, Brita, but.
We'll go with that.
I was poking fun at, you know, Alan, who, you know.
Damn kids.
I hear he couldn't bring his, you know, his flint arrowheads to school. Right?
Wow.
Poor Alan.
Or maybe he was required to handle the little mammoth on the way. I don't know.
Yes, we had to bring our flintlocks to school to fight off the Indians.
To fight off Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, well, they're calling her Pocahontas now.
Yes, that's hilarious.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, thanks for calling. We got two more people waiting.
Go take them. What are you doing talking to me?
Picture of Elizabeth Warren with shitting.
Talk to you next time. Bye.
Oh.
Maybe, if you're lucky.
I like that one. See, the big problem is if Elizabeth Warren loses, it means Scott Brown won.
Yeah.
Taxi-tua. Oh, that's awesome.
You know, before we go on, we're entering into the second hour of the Squirrel Report.
Yes, we are.
And I promised my friend Mad St. Jack that I would let everybody know that Gene Assam will be on NRA News tonight, pretty much right after this show. So if you tune in to Cam Edwards and NRA News, I guess they're having Gene Assam on to talk about her book and her experiences. So that should be pretty interesting. She's kind of one of my gun chick heroes. So I don't know. I might tune in for that. So
cool.
Anyway, I did my duty. Everybody listen to Gina Sama on NRA News tonight, yep, right after the Squirrel Report.
Awesome.
Heard out on Cam Edwards.
Yeah, after you're through listening to us.
Yep. Yes, listen to us first, though.
Because we're better than Cam.
Hey, I'm taller than Cam.
Hey, I think I am, too.
Hey, I like Cam Edwards. He's
Cam,
cool.
Cam's a great guy.
Yeah. Hey, we got two more callers, but I wanted to, since it's the second hour.
It is the second hour.
It's time to talk about our blog post of the week.
I hate you.
Yay!
Our blog post of the week comes from a an obscure little blog that you might not have heard of.
It's an obscure blog. You've probably heard of it.
It's an obscure blog you've probably never heard of.
Not a hipster blog. It isn't.
It's called
not a hipster blog.
The name of it is called Self Evidence, and it's a new blog. You know, and like most new bloggers, you know, she's looking for traffic. So go visit her.
I just posted the link in chat. Uh-huh.
That's right, people. Brita started blogging again.
Yay!
She has a bright, shiny new blog. Actually, she's had it for several months now. She just refused to post anything on it until she, I guess, couldn't resist anymore. And the blogging Jones got to her.
Something got to me.
It was sweet daughter.
It was a combination of things.
She sent you a turtle. I mean, come on.
I know.
A turtle.
I know. It was a combination of things.
Okay. So I'm gonna ask you two questions, and you can answer them however you want, of course. The first question is, why did you stop blogging at your old blog?
Okay.
And the second question is, why did you start blogging on this one? Your fans want to know.
Do they really? Does anybody really care at this point?
Yes, your fans.
I do.
It's been since November since I blogged.
I know.
Yeah.
And every day somebody's asking when you're going to blog again.
No, they haven't.
That's true.
Well. Yeah.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, they have.
Okay,
too.
Anyway. So, Boy. Last year was a hard year for me. And it was kind of a year of blogging required me to search the internet every single day for something new to talk about. Because really, gun blogs, and this is not a bad thing because it means that we're winning. There's so many gun blogs, it has become an echo chamber. And everybody's talking about the same topic, and everyone is preaching to the choir. It's not a bad thing because it means that we're doing something good and that we're winning the fight, the Second Amendment fight. However, for me, it just became a chore. So it was that sort of year in blogging for me, and it was a struggle every day, and I had to, you know, not every day. I mean, I got some good posts out during that year, but really, if you go back and you look at my old blog, you will see that one of the very last posts was one of my very good friends died, and it was just like a culmination of kind of like just a generally crappy year for me in blogging, and I just didn't feel it anymore, and I said, you know what, I'm done. I'm passing the torch. There are new bloggers. Let them have their new voices. I'm done. You know, I've said what I needed to say, and everything else that I could possibly say on this blog is rehashing. If you want to know what I think, go back and read my archives. So I decided, okay, that's that. I kind of like washed my hands of it, and I said, okay, I'm done. And the day that I decided that I was done blogging on that blog was the day my mom got her concealed carry license. And I said, you know what? I've come full circle here. There's no more I can do.
Well, you kind of started it when you got yours.
Yeah. You know, it was kind of like a progression. It was kind of like a growth thing for me. Yep. And when I first started blogging, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was blogging about. I didn't know where I was going with it. It was kind of like this kind of weird, organic thing that kind of took on a life of its own. And,
are you talking about Blogger or LiveJournal?
No, I'm talking about both of them together.
Okay.
Because LiveJournal was just, you know, that was the beginning, and then I went to Blogger. Yeah. And then,
yeah, sooner or later you get tired of cutting yourself and, you know, you move on to a blog.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah. No, but seriously, like it just took on a life of its own, and it was what it was. And at the end I felt like, okay, I'm done. I've said all I need to say. If people wanted, you know, people want to know what I think about anything, they can search the archives. Because I'm done.
That's a good enough reason.
You know, I'm done. And I had planned for a long time that the last day I was gonna post, and the very last post was gonna be the day my mom got her concealed carry, because she is the woman. I mean, my blog kind of became this whole chicks with guns thing, getting women shooting, getting women interested in self defense. And my mom is the woman I love most in the world, so I decided that was going to be the day. And so my mom and I went
in our chat, by the way.
I know. I think she, I don't know what she's doing. I haven't talked to her today.
She has a life.
She has kind of more of a life than I do, actually. Nice. But, yeah, so that was that. And then I had a blank blog for a very long time, and, you know, it's been kind of like eating away at me. And, you know, it just kind of, I got a letter from Nancy R's sweet daughter saying, she sent me this little turtle thing, and she sent me a little handwritten note, and it said, here's something you can blog about. And she had sent me an email.
The power of the cute compels you.
Yeah. Yes. She had sent me an email. Sweet daughter sent me an email herself saying, you know, when are you going to blog again? I miss your blog. You know, come on. Who can say no to that?
She sent it with a picture of her with a little pink cricket over her back. How can you argue?
I know. And one of the things I wrote back to her, I said, you know, I do have a blank blog, but I said, do you know when you get a blank piece of paper and you have a whole box of crayons and you don't know what to do with that blank piece of paper?
Oh, you got to say that again.
What?
The crayon. Say crayon.
Crayon.
Alan, say acorn.
Oh, acorn?
Anyway, so I wrote back to her, and Nancy said to me, she said, sweet daughter has never had that problem. She just gets her paper out, and she gets her crayons, and she goes for it. And I really thought about that for a long time, and I said, you know, I used to be that girl. So screw this blank blog. I'm going to go for it. And cool. So I blogged.
Yay. And the rest is history.
Are you happy with your answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Golf clap.
Yes.
Yay. Okay, there. Is the interview section over?
It is. And we have callers.
Yay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
We have callers. Area code 254. You are on the air.
Hey, guys. It's Randy. How you doing?
Hi, Randy. Hey, Randy. How are you?
Oh, not bad. I just figured I'd get in on, you know, why I own guns a bit.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, I've been in the Army for 16 years now. And what was it? When I turned 21, I had just gotten back from my first deployment. I went to Bosnia back then. You know, been a lot of places since. But anyway, so I've been in training for 2.5 years for my job. Never touched a gun during that time, which sucked because I joined the Army because I really like shooting. And then,
yeah, you don't get to shoot in the Army.
Yeah, not much. It got better back in, I guess, around 06, but that seems to have died off. So they had me shoot 58 rounds, zero unqualified, and sent me off to Bosnia. And I was like, oh, this sucks. And
yeah, so much for training, huh?
Yeah, tell me about it. So when I got back, I was like, well, I can get a gun, but, you know, I live in a barracks, so I can't really have a rifle or actually much of anything in there. But I can keep a pistol at a buddy's house, so I bought an M9. and, you know, got into that way. And then I moved out, got my own apartment, and I was like, well, you know, I have a rifle. So I bought an AR-15, you know, full-size 20-inch, and this is back in the assault weapon ban days. So so I got pre-ban, and was practicing with that. And, you know, I really, you know, just wanted to have some, you know, one of everything that I could possibly have. And then, of course, they issued me a saw. So much for that plan. But, anywho, and then I just really got into the gun swing. And then I was in Iraq, back in Baghdad in 04, and, you know, I was working a night shift. And, you know, found gun forums, and bam, done.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, so now I have, like, way too many guns.
Oh, there's no such thing.
I know.
There's one situation. That's if your house is on fire.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would say, pretty much.
Yeah, that's the only time.
Or when it's time to move and you got to move the safe, that's a problem, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Army moves the safe, I move the gun.
There you go. Pay somebody else to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably the biggest reason.
Yeah, just got the M&P shield. Got my holster in for today.
Oh, neat. How do you like that?
Try that out tomorrow. I haven't shot it yet, but the sight is really nice. It feels really good. The smaller magazine, the 7-rounder, I think it is. Yeah, 7.
Yeah.
It's just, with my hand, my pinky is like halfway down on the floor plate, but with the extended one, it's my hand just fine. And,
beauty.
You know, the controls are working pretty good. And tomorrow, you know, I'm going to take it out with carry ammo and try it out.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I have to wait for them to become Massachusetts approved.
Yeah. Oh. It'll happen. It's a Smith & Wesson.
Shut up, Alan. No, I did. It's slated for to be submitted for all the testing, and I've already put my bid in to get one for testing once it's approved.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having
Andy.
Me.
All right,
bye. And we got two more callers stacked up. So awesome.
I will try not to geek out.
This is area code 763. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jote.
Hey, Jote.
Jote.
Wow.
Hey, Jote.
Hey, Jay. Hey. You guys are asking, why do I have guns?
Yes.
And yes. Okay. We had guns in the house when I was a kid, but my dad wasn't a hunter. He had a .22 that he occasionally shoots varmints with, but never, you know, shot pop cans as a kid, but never really was a shooter or a hunter. And I always wanted guns, but I never knew where I could go. I never knew. Once we moved away from the farm, I didn't know I could go shoot.
That's always a problem.
And I went to the range with a friend. I was like, there's this place I can pay $30 and I can sit there and shoot guns until I'm sick of it. And about a month later, I went out and bought myself a handgun.
Nice.
And I've been buying them since. As much as finances will allow and sometimes more than.
Yeah, that seems to be what happens. Once you get one, you got to get another.
It's like potato chips.
Yeah.
No one can have just one.
That's right.
No, you can't have just one, and even just one of every gets.
Oh,
well, two
like
is
enough.
One, so, and one is none. So you have to have at least two of everything.
Yeah, then Minnesota passed the liberalized concealed carry a couple years ago. I can get a carry permit, and I don't just have to beg the sheriff and get denied.
Let's see if we can get.
But I got a carry permit, and I've been carrying every day since then. Is that phone ringing? Everybody hearing?
What's that?
Yeah, it's
I was hearing the phone ring.
Oh,
I was trying to call weird.
It's not me.
Oh,
yeah. It's me.
It's Alan.
There's, unfortunately, with Skype, there's no way to take the ringing out of band, so at least not that I can find.
So the main reason I own guns is because I can.
There you go.
The secondary reason is I have a wife and a child now, and, well.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I made the case a long time ago that I carried a gun because I was a humanitarian. Because if somebody tried to harm my children, I'll kill them. And the gun is the difference between me beating them to death with my bare hands and shooting them. So I'm being a humanitarian.
Well, you know, you don't want to cause any more pain and suffering than, you know, you have to.
Exactly.
I mean,
you know, actually, if someone messes with your kid, don't you want to cause them pain and suffering, Jay?
Well,
Jay's a nice guy, though. He's,
that would be the intent, but, you know, ripping their arms off tends to cause death by blood loss.
Yeah, and it looks really bad in court.
Your Honor, he pulled the man's arms off.
Yeah.
Seemed like the thing to do at the time.
Yeah.
My mother was concerned when my son was baptized because the priest used too much water and he started to cry. Oh. And my mom said, I thought you were going to punch the priest. She was genuinely concerned.
Babies are supposed to cry at baptism. It gets the devil out.
Yeah, oh, is that what it is? Yeah,
it's supposed to dunk them.
Oh, okay.
This was more. It was an additional cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Dad.
Okay, well, we got another caller, so thanks for
okay.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye. Yep. All right, this is area code 540.
Hey, it's Nancy.
Awesome.
Hey,
Nancy.
You told me to call. I called.
Yay.
You're so obedient.
She is.
Well,
oh, geez.
Only when there's people watching.
Hey!
Well, let me rephrase that.
Pseudo, make me a sandwich.
Yeah.
Poof, you're a sandwich.
Ba-da-bum. So, Nancy.
Yeah. Yes.
$1 question. Why do you own a gun?
Because I haven't perfected the death stare.
Ooh, point, Nancy.
I will give lessons for a fee.
I've tried, and no, I don't have the death stare. I can loom really well, but I don't do death stare well.
Looming is a useful skill, but it's not very deadly.
And it's not very, I can't, I, a 5'0", cannot loom.
Rita cannot loom.
That's true. I'm not a loomer. No. Sorry.
She's incapable of
looming. No, but you've got death stare.
I do. Oh, Nancy, we would be so like, we'd be like a superhero duo.
We would.
Totally.
Knock it off, guys. Get out of there. I know where you're going with that.
I'm sorry. Anyway. Were we talking about something?
Yes, we were.
My brain just stripped a gear. I'm sorry.
I thought you didn't do manual transmission. Never mind. So, yeah, I carry a gun because if anything happened to Sweet Daughter and I could have stopped it, I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
Okay.
So that, I mean,
that's a good reason.
That's fairly standard. But yeah.
I really like the idea of, because I was not one of those kids who was brought up around guns. I like the idea of kids growing up around guns. And I know, like every Brady campaign person's head just exploded, but I like the idea of it because it teaches them respect for other people's property, you know, that's daddy's gun. You don't touch that.
Oh, I thought you would stay off my lawn.
No, but you know what I mean? It's like, this is not yours. You don't touch it. It teaches them personal responsibility. It teaches them all sorts of things. I mean, it's really kind of a cool thing. And on top of it, when they get old enough, they get to learn how to shoot.
Right.
Exactly.
It's pretty neat.
Exactly. Yep. It takes all the mystique out of it. That's my whole thing.
Yes. I remember the first time I met a kid who was raised around guns, and this is very early on into like my gunnyhood, I just thought, wow, that is just really cool. Like, it's not even an issue for this kid. It was just like, oh, okay, you know, dad's gun is there. Not a big deal. you know, it's very interesting. And I guess it's kind of like a very American thing, you know, kids growing up around guns and it not being a big deal. So.
Yeah. I don't have to lock up the kitchen knives. So why should I have to?
Right. Exactly. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to teach the kids not to drink bleach. You tell them once, you know, don't drink bleach. Don't play with the knives. Don't touch the guns. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, but granted, I don't leave it sitting out, but.
Yeah.
Yep.
I took it off today, had it on the table before I put it away, and she knew to leave it alone.
Right. And because you haven't hidden it, you've taken the mystique out. It's not a forbidden fruit.
Nope.
It's she's got hers. Yep. She's got hers.
From day one, it was what it is, what it does.
Yeah.
Stop. Show it to her.
Exactly.
She got boring pretty quick.
Exactly. You really want it to get boring? Yeah. Have a clean one.
Exactly. And
there you go.
And it's amazing how quick they lose interest because, you know, the only fun thing about a gun is shooting it, frankly.
Yes. Yes.
Everything else is boring as hell. And so, if, you know, about the second time you show a kid the gun and they look at it, after that, they're like, eh.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah,
but the thing is, if they see one lying around, they're not going to pick it up and put their finger on the trigger and point it at somebody and pull the trigger.
Right.
You know, they're going to know that, okay, we don't point it at things.
Because it puts holes in things.
Yep. And it's loud.
Some people practice the multiplication tables in the car. We practice the four rules.
Nice.
Hey, my son got himself a Crossman hat and knife at Kittery Trading Post. They have a little air gun range set up. And Joey wanted to go over and try it out. And I insisted that he recite the four rules before he picked up the BB gun. He went, boom, 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 boom. Crossman rep was like, very good. Pulls out the hat.
Cool.
It was very cool. He was like six, too. I mean, he wasn't very old.
So I was at the Northern Virginia gun blogger get-together thing last week, and we were talking about taking your daughter to the range day. And I said, well, sweet daughter can't go. Mm-hmm. This range here won't even let her in until she's seven. It's an insurance thing.
Damn.
And that, I mean, we take her to a friend's house. That's not a problem. But I was hoping I could at least take her into the range so she could see how it worked. So when she did get to go shoot, it wasn't another layer of stuff to navigate.
Right.
Right.
And that was a no-go. But the conversation evolved into having a kid blog shoot. Basically, mm-hmm. with BB guns and airsoft.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yep.
For the younger ones, get them started early. You know, they're small enough. You don't need the ear protection if you're shooting pellet guns. You know, you can grab the barrel and point it where you need to if it starts wandering. And I've actually got Michael W. convinced that this is something he needs to come up and help with. But we're kicking ideas around as to how to best go about this. Huh. Besides reactive targets.
Oh, yes. Nancy.
Yes.
Double Trouble wants me to remind you that sweet daughter can shoot at the super secret range.
That's true.
Just saying.
Of course she can. I see
you know,
that.
If you're coming.
Well, it is on the calendar.
Okay.
It is on the calendar.
Is Weird here now?
Weird is here.
Weird he might be.
It's about time.
It got things got much weirder.
All right. Well, thank y'all for being with us on the Squirrel Report this week. And
are you what?
No, I'm just.
Wow.
We have half an hour, Alan.
I was doing that for
what
Weird.
So. Oh.
August 12th. That's when it should be on the calendar for.
August 12th.
Yep.
Got it.
BB guns on the phone.
BB guns are fun.
They are, and I have a feeling that this will evolve into the adults grabbing the pellet guns and
For
it.
Oh, airsoft guns are fun, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
You can get full auto airsoft guns.
Yeah, you can.
My son has one. I got him an airsoft gun for Easter just to say, fuck you to Snuffy Fledger in Chicago.
And this is Nancy R. on the phone. Weird.
Ah. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Weird. Hi. Well, that was telling.
Weird's here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you guys not hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Who's that?
Oh.
I'm sorry. I can't hear them.
Jay.
No, see, it falls flat because nobody else has seen Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
No.
Because I have children, so.
Weird's been
I've
off
seen
learning
it, I just haven't read it.
You've been off learning how to operate on rodents.
Yes. And I made three custom AR-15s this afternoon.
Sweet.
That's why I'm late.
Yeah, I heard you made a mess on mine, so.
Did he tell you already?
Of course he did.
I want to hear about the mouse surgery. Did you get me any testicles?
Mouse balls.
I got you some. They just didn't let me bring them out of the lab.
Dang it.
He smuggled them in his ass cheeks.
I actually tried to the girl I was doing I was removing a kidney, and the young lady beside me said, "Hey, did you get your kidney out?" I said, "It's right here." I tried to hand it to her, and she didn't really want it.
How big are was it rats or mice?
Mice, only mice.
Wow.
And mouse testicles are about how big? Smaller than a kidney bean?
Probably about the size of a large garden pea.
Oh.
That's
definitely
pretty,
not enough for scrappy nibbles.
That's pretty big for something as small as a mouse.
Yeah, they're definitely big for their size. Have you ever seen a sack on a mouse?
Yeah.
They're big for their size.
Yeah. They drag their balls around when they walk.
So
I missed you, Weird. There was not enough talk about testicles on this show.
Oh, well, we could talk about them right now because I've seen a lot of them.
You feeling much better about yourself now, comparatively speaking?
Wow.
Ooh, yeah. Damn.
Nancy comes off the third turnbuckle with the elbow.
I just got the flying elbow on that one.
Body blow.
I'm just very, very happy not to be looking at rodent organs at high magnification.
Notice he didn't answer the question.
I feel great about myself. I've never had self-esteem issues. I think you can all tell that. I'm known for being very shy and reserved.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
They have support groups for that, I hear.
Extroverts are us.
Nobody's extroverted here.
Nope.
No.
Especially not Jay. Jay's very shy, reserved.
I'm very shy and reserved.
Timid.
Timid almost. It's the one thing people notice when they meet me for the first time. Why? He's so shy.
What? No.
That's code word for odor.
Yeah, I have no sense of smell. So
the first thing that they notice is that Jay sets off the fire alarms.
What's that smell?
I always get at the library. I stand up from my desk, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, you're so short!" I'm like, "Yes, I know."
Yeah, it's like it's a revelation to you.
You really are so small. I know. Thanks.
We are pocket size.
You should say I do it on purpose. Yeah.
Next time, say, "Oh my God, I didn't know."
Yeah, something.
I'm doing my Bjork impersonation.
Is she short?
Yeah,
she's Brita-sized.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea. Oh, see?
You notice you've never
seen relative.
And Brita in the same place.
Yeah, well, everyone's short to you, Nancy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nancy's 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Not really.
Nancy's the same height as me, but her legs come up to my rib cage.
Her legs come up to your nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whew. That's why I need a thigh holster.
Yep.
Come on, guys. Knock it off.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, but, Nancy, as far as the kids shoot goes, I've had kids at...
That's
you
kids
know,
shooting, not shooting kids. Just clarifying that.
Not shooting kids. kid, well.
The kids shoot.
Some of them.
The kids shoot. You know, the whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cub Scout. Temptation could be there sometime.
I've been around, I've been on ranges with kids before. And usually they can, when they get sick of shooting, they pretty much just go off and kind of keep themselves occupied. You know, and
yeah, we have a plan B. I've got a swing set, and
perfect.
We can get a slip and slide. We can have a cookout, because I figure by this point the adults.
This sounds like my kind of party, actually.
Well, come on down. Hey, for
it. Rita likes the slip and slide. Mental note.
Yeah,
I like a swing set. Oh God!
Sorry, I'm stuck on slip and slide.
Beer slip inside, just like in college.
It would be fun. Anyway.
We used to do that down the hall of the dorm room.
Well, it'll be interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll bring my airsoft pistol. If I can. It'll be fun.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Nancy.
Thanks for calling, Nancy. Welcome. Remember, August 12th.
That'll teach you to tell me to call in next time.
Right.
We like all our callers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You like Nancy especially.
Cool. Duh.
Thank you.
Duh. I know.
Everybody
She's
likes
our
Nancy.
Own very own Amazon.
That's right.
She's made of
Nancy.
Crystallized awesome.
See ya.
Good night.
Bye.
You know, Nancy has kefir now. FYI.
Yes.
Is it the Brita genus of kefir?
It is. I sent her some of my kefir.
From the Brita line?
The Brita line.
You're next, yes. Weird.
I'm next.
I will assimilate you, too.
I have some of that also.
Uh-huh.
It's quite good.
That way our intestinal flora can be related.
Yes.
Yep.
Our intestinal flora can be like a northern Maine town.
We're all just symbiotes. It's fine.
Well, we've got one more topic.
Excellent. Was oh, God, are we going to really even talk about that?
Yes.
We have. Okay, go ahead.
The bombers that...
Yeah.
I don't even really want to call them bombers. They're just idiots.
Yeah.
yes. They're stooges.
The FBI conned into going along with a plot to bomb a bridge in Cleveland. And like most, like all the, basically it's like all the terrorist arrests in the U.S. since 9/11...
Yeah,
this would have been a bunch of idiots sitting around smoking pot if it wasn't for the FBI informant going, hey, let's go blow something up.
Yeah. You want to be a great idea, guys?
Yeah. So, I don't know.
The do-it-yourself terrorist hobby kit.
Yeah. And, on the one hand, yeah, they went along with it, so, you know. They certainly weren't innocent, but at the same time, you know, you've seen their pictures. I mean, these guys are
stoners.
Yeah.
And idiots.
Yeah. I mean, there's, yeah, they couldn't have pulled off a plan to, I mean, they do good to go to the store and get food. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the thing with my problem is that there was no terrorist plot until the FBI got involved.
Yes. Right. That's,
I mean, it wasn't like,
always
it wasn't like
it
these
is.
Bunch of stoners were sitting around thinking, hey, dude,
yeah.
how would we go about bombing a bridge in Cleveland?
Yeah. And then you went off and looked for somebody to help them. You know, they didn't do that. It was.
No.
And the informant.
Some smooth talking guy shows up at the Occupy Cleveland. Singles out these morons that are like stoned to the gills and goes up to them and he's like the cool dude, you know, and they all the loser stoners like glom onto the cool dude and are like, hey, I like this guy. I want to be like this guy, you know, and they go up to him and, you know, he smooth talks them and he says, hey,
he's a con artist.
I think we can bomb that bridge at Cleveland. You know, it's he just lured him in. So, oh, and he's an ex-con.
Yeah.
Poor hippies.
The guy who was like the FBI informant is an ex-con.
Not only an ex-con, but he's under indictment for additional felony acts since this event. I mean, he has a long history of, you know, he's a con man. I mean, you know, he's been involved in real estate swindles. He's been involved in all kinds of crap. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So they got this guy who's a smooth talker, and they sent him in with the stupid hippies who are all totally stoned and have like three brain cells to rub together between them and suggest bombing bridges in Cleveland for their stupid cause.
So they could get it on with the Occupy chicks.
I don't even know.
And to pull it back a little bit.
Maybe Scooby snack. Do Scooby snacks?
Yeah, weird. Go ahead.
Yeah, but to pull it back a little bit too is, I mean, how many of us have found ourselves in some weird situation? Like back when I was a freshman in college, at one point I found myself at 3 o'clock in the morning, up to my knees in mud, next to a pickup truck stuck in the middle of a small lake. And it wasn't my pickup truck. I'd never been off-roading before. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were stuck 9 miles from civilization. And it was just one of those things of just the, hey, do you want to do this? Yeah, sure, why not? People
seem like the thing by, to do at the time.
By nature, just go along with the flow. If somebody says... Yeah,
especially when you're stoned.
Yeah.
Sure.
But Senator, were you drunk at the time?
But it's just it's one of those things of the, if you walk around and just say, hey, let's do X enough times, eventually you'll get a few people tagging along just sure. for something to do.
Yep.
Sure.
And of course the FBI uses it as budget justification.
Absolutely.
But it'll always succeed. You just find a bunch of gullible, bored people and say, hey, do you want to do this? I'll do all the hard work for you. All you have to do is show up and help.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know
what I thought was really interesting was that four Occupy guys, the stoner guys from the Occupy movement in Cleveland were all white. But the guy they sent in, the informant guy, to chat him up about, you know, hey, we can bomb a bridge, he was black.
Yes. And he's not only that, but he was one of those Islamic converts.
Right.
I mean, he used to have a normal name. Now he's got something.
Right. So he's got like this kind of like minority street cred thing going on.
Right.
And I'm sure the hippie white guys loved that. They thought it was like, hey, we can be cool like him.
That's right. They were trying to be multicultural.
Ugh.
Plus they thought he might have good drugs.
He might have good ganja.
Yeah.
They thought he was Jamaican. Dude, no, seriously, he's Rasta. They've got all the good stuff, man. What I liked was that guys are like 20, 22, 23, and then 38. You get that one old pathetic dude who's like trying desperately to cling to I'm still young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to hang out with the young
the aging stoner.
Crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. The I'm not really getting old.
Almost as pathetic as the aging rock star.
At least the aging rock star has money. And this guy still. I mean, when you're living it. Yeah. Yeah. Fair point. Although I think at 38, you qualify as rock star wannabe.
Right.
Could have got a band. We practice in my parents' basement. You're 38 years old.
Well, yeah.
Everybody have at least one friend from college who you'd get together like 5-10 years later and they'd be like, oh man, wasn't college awesome? Don't you wish you could do it again? It's like, dude, that was 10 years ago. What was wrong with you?
I don't talk to people.
No, I don't either.
You know what's better? Eating stuff that isn't ramen noodles.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Hey, my 20-year high school reunion is this summer.
Wow.
Yeah, and somebody on Facebook commented on to me, and she's like, hey, you know our reunion's in August. I was like, what reunion? She said, well, it's all over Facebook in our high school graduating class page. And I was like, oh, I didn't know about that. You know, you're the only one I graduated with that I even talked to, and it's only on Facebook. So, no, there are no happy reunions. But no, back to the FBI bombing thing. It's seriously, when I read about this and I read about how the feds set up these guys in the Occupy movement in Cleveland, The first thing that came to mind was the Blazing Saddles quote.
Oh, yeah.
We have to protect our phony baloney jobs.
That's right.
That's exactly what's going on here. They're creating homeland, you know, security issues and terrorism so that they can justify. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just so they can get a few wins on the board, because, you know, every time, you know, every time a terrorist actually does something, they have to try to pretend like that doesn't count.
Right.
Like Nadal Hassan being workplace violence, not right. Domestic terrorism.
Yeah, it's not real.
That was post-traumatic stress disorder. That was right. Not.
Workplace violence. Had nothing to do with, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the TSA justifying their existence by, you know, they find bottles of breast milk and a pocket knife and, right. Oh my God. And, you know, grandma's wearing a diaper and.
Yeah. Someone's got a dummy grenade paperweight.
Ugh.
Oh yeah. No, that's the ATF.
Or the latest one where the people were on their way from the defense organization were on their way to a conference where they were going to demonstrate Claymore mines, and they had them in their luggage.
Yeah. And but they were dummy.
Oh, yeah, they were completely dummy. They were just
yeah, and they missed one out of
three. They missed one of them.
How the fuck do you miss a goddamn Claymore? The only way it could have been more obvious is if it had been a fucking Claymore sword.
I love, you know, the whole, you know.
He's walking around with a 7-foot broadsword.
Yeah. You know, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. Useless.
Yep.
Tits on a ball.
Yep.
Well, then, what's his name? Ryan?
Bull boobies. That's TSA.
Ryan? Is it Ryan that's doing the TSA, get rid of the TSA thing? I think it was
probably somebody, among others.
No, it was Rand Paul.
Oh, was it Rand Paul?
Yes.
Somebody's starting a campaign to eliminate.
Not Paul Ryan. It's Rand Paul. Of them.
Why stop at the TSA? DEA.
Well, you got to start someplace.
FDA. Well, fuck them. Get rid of all of them. Especially the DEA and the DOE.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Well, as a general rule, government agencies are full of stupid.
Yeah.
You know how when somebody runs for office, they're like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And
then they
I'm
never
gonna...
do. Obama.
No, not just that. But wouldn't it be great if somebody stood up and in their whole campaign platform was, I'm going to undo things.
Undo, yes.
That guy's name was Ron Paul.
Undo.
Ron Paul. He's Alan's representative. Okay, I'll get it out there for you, Alan.
All right, whatever. Ron Paul.
His campaign on, I am going to start cutting shit out.
Well, that's his campaign. I mean, that's what he's
In between bouts of ooga ooga booga, yeah, it is.
Well, you know, I mean.
In between bouts of, well, let's open the borders wide open.
Actually, to be fair, a lot of people were talking about that over the last week. Is the governor of Maine said we've got a budget shortfall, and I've said we need to make this many cuts to make everything work, and the legislature keeps coming back saying, oh, we can't cut this, can't cut that, so we just said, all right, fine. Until I get the cuts that I need, every time a bond bill comes across my desk, I'm going to veto it.
Nice.
And
good for him. Good
of course
him.
my lefty father thought this was the most outrageous thing on earth. Why would he do that? This is of course the same father of mine who told me that I should never charge my credit card for anything I can't cover in the bank account, but. Suddenly, that doesn't count when it comes to politics.
It's different when it's the government's credit card, you see.
But yeah, so a little bit of that does happen.
Yep. Well, that's good to hear. Someday they can do it with the real estate.
But
I'm sorry. I was just mean.
No, don't worry. I just drove all the way across that state, and yeah, there's a whole lot of nothing in most of it.
Yeah. Went out of Portland.
Yeah, right
down to the old port.
I don't think I've ever been in Maine, actually.
Ah,
maybe the little southmost piece of it.
Kittery Trading Post. If you've been anywhere, you've been to Kittery, KTP.
I will have to say that
Giant floor of guns where you'll get swept about 900 billion times.
No, never been there.
Yeah, the last time I was there, I saw a 7-year-old kid pick up a shotgun and immediately sweep his sister's head with it.
Yeah. Usually they're pulling the trigger at the same time.
Yep. And the parents were just standing there just like a duck in thunder.
Like a duck in thunder. Ducks do like the rain. They just sit there and... Yeah, anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Derp.
Until you hit him with a shovel.
Well, 214.
We have 15 minutes left.
514.
What's our damn number?
214-530-0036.
Yeah, that.
I have it memorized.
That's a good one.
Call in and say things to us in the last 14 minutes of the show.
214-530-0036.
So did Wally already call
in? Wait a minute, what was that again?
214-530-0036. Somebody put it in chat. Oh.
So did I.
Yeah.
So
did Wally call in? He said he would while I was driving home.
No, he's alive.
He did.
Hey, Alan, I wanted to ask you while I have you on the air. Have you been watching to see how many downloads we have on iTunes?
No.
You haven't?
Not really.
Oh, come on.
How about in the Android marketplace?
Next week.
Okay, I will check.
Next week, have the numbers for me.
Okay.
I'm interested.
We
fantastic, Alan.
We peaked at 31 concurrent listeners tonight.
Woohoo! 31 listeners.
People in the chat room right now.
Yep. Oh, we have a call.
Woohoo! Okay.
Area code 520. You're on the air.
Good evening, all.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening, caller.
It's Kevin.
Hi, Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Awesome.
Wow. I listened.
Kevin Baker, everybody.
Man, I loved you in Tremors. That was awesome.
Yeah, I liked it too, but it wasn't me. You know that.
Hey, Kevin, guess what?
What?
I was playing with something that will soon belong to you.
You got to finger manipulate my lower?
Yes.
I thought we were still talking about rat testicles.
I bet he didn't just use his finger either.
Have they anodized it yet?
That was only for Jay's.
Well, yeah, Wally assured me that they take an extensive bath before anodizing. So.
Yeah, I guess they sandblast them, but you'll always know, Jay.
I'm going to know every time I shoot that gun that it was held under Weird's ball sack.
Oh, I got the upper on order, and I got brass.
See, Sabrina, we are talking about testicles.
Order,
so. Okay, terrific.
Just not mouse testicles.
I'd have to wait 3 months for the upper to come in.
Yeah, well, it would only be 2 months, but they have to de-louse it first.
That's
if you want, you can cancel the order and have Wally turn you out the upper.
I've already placed the order.
You know what would be great right now?
Not talking about guns?
No, if we asked Kevin why he called in this evening.
Kevin, why the fuck did you call in?
He called in because somebody told him to.
Because Jay asked me to.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice. Thank you.
But since you're here.
Since you're here.
Tell us why you own guns.
No, actually, I was going to ask a different question.
Go ahead.
I noticed your comment on Boar Patch's Obama endorsement.
Yeah.
And I thought that was you're still in the, you know, we're augering into the ground mode.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So would you rather auger quickly or gently, or do you think it matters?
I would prefer to go in at an angle instead of vertically.
Sorry. I don't know, for anybody's listening, Boar Patch did a post yesterday or today. I don't remember which it was. Anyway, basically endorsing Obama because the GOP sucks.
And it does.
And it does.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry. Of course, personally, I'm not a conservative. I've never, I never have been, but I'm not a liberal either.
No, actually, that to be honest, you're not a progressive. You are a liberal.
Well, I'm
they stole the word.
I'm the old-fashioned liberal. Yeah.
Yeah, classical liberal.
Right.
You're for liberty.
But as far as I can tell, I mean, you can't listen to what politicians say. Everybody knows that. That's got half a brain. Politicians will say anything to get elected. It's what they do that matters. And the last four or five presidents we've had,
they've just driven us right along the road.
Really hasn't been that much difference, from one administration to the next. The accelerator's been, they've some gone a little faster than others, but it's been in the same direction.
Yep. Closer to statism.
Yeah. Nobody's,
Go back to Reagan. Reagan talked a good game, but he didn't do much either.
Well, Reagan was kind of hamstrung because, you got to remember the GOP establishment hated Reagan. They hated the Reagan.
Yeah.
They hated the Reagan Revolution. They hated the Reaganites. They hated losing all their jobs to the Reagan people that came in. They fought against him constantly. They leaked stuff. He was sabotaged by his own party to a large extent.
And that was exactly what would happen if we got somebody else in there. The problem is,
right.
The problem is not the politicians. The problem is us.
Well, yeah.
The problem of us is due to, and I've been harping on this for years now, is due to the fact that we've got five or six generations of people,
yep,
who have been educated to be this way, not miseducated to be this way. The population is largely detached and ignorant and unwilling to learn.
It's just the way they want them.
Yep.
Just exactly
it's
the way they
been
want them.
Programming us,
right?
They've been programming us for since the turn of the 19th or the 20th century.
And they've gotten what they wanted. I went and saw the Hunger Games. My wife dragged me up to see it, and I actually enjoyed it. But one of the things
did you cut off your own testicles too?
Yes, yes, I did. and I really enjoyed it. I sing a lot higher. But one of the things I was saying was, yeah, as Tam said, it was good to see that the kids these days are reading books that. Talk about distrust of government and revolution rather than being date raped by a vampire. But the big thing I had was I noticed that a lot of these revolution type stories, it always happens after everything's all gone to shit. You never hear about anyone saving a country from the brink. But I kind of wonder if that's for a reason.
That's because you can't do it.
Go back to one of my favorite books ever, which is Heinlein's The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. Yet three people who between them decide that they're going to foment revolution and free the moon from Earth rule. What's the first thing they have to do?
Make things worse. The only reason they succeed is because they cheat.
Well, you have to cheat.
Well, but
the only reason they succeed is because they have a computer capable of doing all the stuff that human beings can't do.
Right. So, realistically, the odds of something like that actually happening are slim and none.
Right. The problem that to have a revolution that is successful, you have to have a population that shares an ideology that works.
Well,
we don't have that.
There's an interesting thing. Name the last successful revolution.
Ours.
Yeah, that's right. The U.S. Revolution in 1776, the American Revolution in 1776 was what I would consider the last successful revolution because it was the last revolution on the entire planet where the people were better off after the revolution. Yep. They had more rights, they had more freedoms,
yeah.
They were actually better off.
Ambrose Bierce's quote, the one I quote him constantly, is revolution is an abrupt form in the abrupt change in the form of mismanagement.
Yeah. It actually may be the only revolution where the people were better off. I can't think of another one. I can't think of one
The Industrial Revolution.
No, you know.
I think it might be a little bit off, but the Indians tossing the British rule, but that did also get Pakistan. So.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Well, that wasn't. You have to understand that really wasn't a revolution as much as it was a movement of. And the only reason it worked is because basically the British civilization.
The Brits gave up.
Yeah, the Brits gave up. They didn't.
The Brits were stretched too thin.
Yep.
And realized.
Well, no, they just weren't willing to kill, you know, half a billion Indians.
Right.
Willing or able?
They just willing or able.
Oh, they were able.
Yeah,
they certainly
could have done it. They would have been, you know, champion assholes, but they certainly could have.
Well, that's all part of could
you know,
they?
And, well,
they wouldn't have been champion assholes if they had done it. They would have just written the books however they felt like it.
Well, the English like to genocide people in much more sneaky, slow term kind of ways.
They have a long history of doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even the American colonists massacring the Native Americans. Sure. We haven't been champion assholes until the 60s started talking about what a bad thing that was. Up until then, we were just we were conquering the land and getting rid of these horrible savages.
We weren't conquering the land. We were making Gaia our bitch. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, that was also an interesting time because, you know, when the American expansion westward was really the only imperialistic expansion of a industrial civilization into a Stone Age civilization. You know, the American Aborigines never had a chance.
Nope.
You know, I mean, whether we wanted to be nice or not, they never had a chance.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the European colonization of Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be pre-industrial, but the same thing with the Spanish colonization of South and Central America.
Yep.
I mean, that's the whole thing. That's kind of the nature of humanity. Is an advanced society bumps into a less advanced society and they fuck their shit up.
Right.
And it's no, you know, the cultural boundaries are really just kind of silliness because the African tribes were wiping each other out.
Oh,
the
sure.
South American and Central American tribes were wiping each other out.
They all hated each other.
It's just the law of nature. It's like gravity.
They're using slavery to get rid of their opponents.
Yep.
Well, you know,
they saw the slave ships, and they're like, "Here," and push their enemies onto the boats.
Yeah, and frankly, if a big hunk of land were magically discovered today that had a Stone Age population on it, we'd do the same thing.
We probably put plexiglass around it, and neither does the museum. We want to keep them authentic.
God forbid they should have antibiotics.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you go back to I think Bill Whittle did a piece on the Reconquista thing, saying, okay, you know, Arizona and California and Texas belong to Mexico because we stole it from them.
Oh,
and Mexico was stolen from the Spanish.
Yeah.
And the Spanish stole it from the Indians, and the Indians stole it from the previous Indians, and the previous Indians stole it from the ones before them. And
yeah.
So how far back do you go with this? You know. How much
I don't know,
do you want
but
to
I'm,
spread around?
I'm of Italian descent, and the Romans fucked pretty much everybody on the planet. So if we're doing reparations,
right.
I'm screwed.
You go back to wherever it's politically convenient for your purpose.
Exactly.
And then you stop.
Let me explain something to you. Yes, might does make right. Sorry, but the world does work that way.
That's exactly how it works.
And if you don't agree with that, you can talk to my gun.
Or his mouse testicles.
Okay. We're about out of time.
Yes, sir.
I think we there's one little program note. We're going to be starting the show a little bit earlier.
Are we sure of the time yet?
I'm going to say we're going to start it at 9 Eastern.
Okay.
next time.
And, I'm yawning.
Because,
as if to illustrate the point.
Right, because yeah. starting at 9:30 Eastern makes it just go too late for a lot of people. So we're going to try at 9, and we may actually do it a little earlier than that, depending on how things work out. Because we've had a lot of requests from people to do it even earlier than that. And I'm not opposed to that, but, it's kind of a trade-off thing. Because, a lot of people that listen to us in, Mountain and Pacific time, if we do it much earlier, they're not going to be home from work yet. So, anyway. So next week we'll start at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock Eastern.
Set your reminders. Turn your clocks back.
9 o'clock Brita Standard Time.
All righty.
BST.
Or actually, it's Brita Daylight Time because it's...
Welcome back to blogging, Brita. We missed you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Brita, you're back to blogging?
She's back on LiveJournal,
actually. Where have you been, Weird?
LiveJournal.
I've been on a large island off the coast of Maine with lots of mountains on it and no fucking cell reception.
Cool. Yeah, Brita started blogging as of yesterday.
Basically, Weird's been in the barrel.
It's a little blog. It's a start. It's something. But
That's already had like a ginormous number of visits. I looked at the site meter, and today she's had over 1,000 visits. It's like,
boom.
You're
kidding.
Oh, I'm not kidding.
She got linked by Hunt. Come on.
Yeah, but that's not,
Yeah, I'll be updating my blog role here shortly.
Oh, well, it's not going to be a gun blog.
You weren't using a euphemism.
I want to warn everybody it's not going to be a gun blog.
That's right. It's going to be a nail polish blog?
Hey.
It's going to be a something.
It's a Brita blog.
I just found it.
It's a,
Why does my header look different all of a sudden? I didn't change this.
Looks the
same. God damn it, blogger. Anyway.
Brita, did you get a pet Xenopus frog?
Excuse me?
There's a picture of...
No, that's the frog. That's the frog from the library. That's our little mascot.
It's a Xenopus.
He's very cute. And he croaks underwater.
Freakish.
Yeah, because
most frogs do.
Because he doesn't do anything above water because they're fully aquatic.
Well, whatever. His name is Kong.
Huh.
Aww.
Kong!
You know what? Sorry. I bet it'd be neat if, now that Weird's told you what kind of frog it is, if you had some kind of little plaque next to it that said all that neat information.
Okay.
They're also a commonly used lab model.
Yes, we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
He lives in the children's department. We're not trying to scare the children.
Well, I'm telling you this for positive reasons. They're very good lab models because you cannot fucking kill them.
Cool.
I beg to differ.
Resilient.
you can grow them in turlet water.
Nice. I beg to differ.
Jay, you killed a Xenopus?
If you cut it into pieces,
it'll die.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, no, Jay, that doesn't count.
Run it for a crime stat, you will.
Yeah.
You have to know scientific equipment to get.
But Jay, you didn't have very many tank morts, did you?
No. Yeah. No, actually, we actually used Rana Katesbiana for our main.
We switched to
Ufo Bufo in the winter, which was an absolute nightmare because they're the size of a puppy. I'm not kidding. We had toads the size of dinner plates.
Damn.
But you can lick them and get high.
I bet that'd be good eating.
I had one who actually squirted the toxin into my beard.
Ooh.
What?
They can squirt toxin.
Okay.
Did you hear light?
I could see through time. It's kind of cool. I had to go sit in the corner and eat Cheetos for a bit.
My lap edge is breathing. What the fuck?
Nice.
Dude.
All right. And on that note, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for calling if you called in.
Yes. Oh, and remember NRA News with Cam Edwards and Gina Somm following this show. So tune in to NRA News.
Yep. All right.
There you go.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.